Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Matt or Matthew, take either. And it's great to be here this morning. Didn't the worship team do a great job leading us this morning? You know, the truth is that we in Ashwood, we have a fantastic worship team. Not only have our worship team been helping us here this morning, we were asked by Kirkby Community Church if we could lend them a team of our worship team at some point, because over there they the same guy Steve, he leads every week, and I know that's true in a lot of churches, but we're quite blessed and we've got a great worship team here, and sometimes we don't always remember and realize how blessed we are. But this morning, just turn to someone and say, "We're blessed." And so a team from our worship team is there this morning, and they're helping to bless and to lead another church, which is fantastic, isn't it? I've told them they can't go too often, but every now and then, that's great. If you're a visitor this morning, just let me give you a bit of context for my message and fill it in. Last week, if you were here, Simon, with John's help, talked to us about rolling out the red carpet at the start of 2014 for Jesus, that we would seek to honour him not only in our lives individually, but as our lives as church. And it was great to hear that message. If you were here, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we've mentioned it already, but that on Monday we started praying for 21 days. Felt that God was pointing us towards the fact that it would be a helpful way for us to start our year praying together. And Janet's mentioned Ephesians 1 that many of us have been reading every day, just allowing it to get a hold of us and for us to get a hold of it. This week we start Freedom in Christ, a course for discipling and growing us as Christians. And you've heard us talk about that before if you've been around. If you haven't been around, you'll hear us talking about it, because it's a fantastic opportunity for us to get free, to know the truth, and to allow that to make a difference in our lives. It's fantastic. There's 21 people who are doing that course either on Tuesday or Thursday. So please pray as we embark on that. It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. If you're one of those 21, just give me a woo-hoo. One of the things, by the end of the course, those people will have an even bigger woohoo, let me tell you. Actually, I think if you go back a couple of, that lines me up. And the other thing, in the terms of the context of this morning, realize that a number of people, and if you're on our prayer list, our prayer emails, you'll know some of the challenges that we face as church and individuals, with a number of significant, whether it's health challenges, family challenges, relational challenges. As we start 2014, we're aware that following Jesus doesn't give you a guarantee of an easy road, and there are a number of challenges. So this morning, what I want to talk about basically comes in the context of those things. And what I really want to talk about this morning is the truth. And I've got, there's four principles, there's probably lots more, but there's four principles that I want to talk about this morning, that I believe that if we can get a hold of this, particularly in relation to the truth and the facts, which are very different, that I believe that it will help us in the context of those things that I've just mentioned just then. So, in John chapter 8, if you've been around a while, you'll be very familiar with this very short phrase. Jesus said to the people who believed him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, how do we know the truth first? We can listen to teaching, you can listen to podcasts, you can read books, but ultimately, of course, the truth is written in this book, the Bible. It's the Word of God, and we want to align ourselves with this as the truth in our lives. And If you've been around for a while, and I've said this before, the truth may be something that we've read about, it may be something that we've talked about, some of us have even preached about the truth, but somehow along the way, we may not have actually managed to know the truth. And that's why freedom in Christ is great, because it gives us a chunk of time to know the truth. The Greek word here, I don't know a lot of Greek, so this is it. The Greek word here for know is gnosko, and it means to know intimately. It actually means to know in the biblical husband and wife sense, I understand. That's the type of intimacy with which we'll know the truth. And I don't know about you, but I want to know the truth with that level of intimacy, because then, once I really know it, then it has the opportunity to set me free. You might be wondering why we would read Ephesians 1 for 21 days. Seems like an odd thing to do. And I could hear people, some people might say, is this brainwashing? Is that what we're about here? Ephesians 1, everybody, read it for 21 days. Is that brainwashing? Does it sound like brainwashing to you? Well, of course, we're not into brainwashing in a controlling and a manipulative kind of sense. But I was thinking about this week, as I've read Ephesians 1 every day, it's almost like I've had the opportunity to be immersed in truth. And so the words of Ephesians 1, we're not about brainwashing, but actually, if you can immerse yourself in truth, it's different words, but actually, that doesn't sound like a bad thing to me. And I've realized that in these first 7 days, as I've read that every day, suddenly I've got a greater confidence, and it almost feels a bit like I'm describing what I'm talking about, that I somehow know the truth a little bit more than I did before. So we want to be acquainted with the truth and to really know it. So, principle number one, know the truth. Principle number two, believe the truth before we believe the facts. So what am I talking about? Truth deals with a reality that exists whether it's seen or not. You realize that today there are two realities. There are the things we see and there are the things that are unseen. Truth is true and it's real and it lives in a place called the kingdom, which is an unseen dimension. So truth deals in a reality that exists whether it's seen or not. But facts deal with circumstances that are only seen. Which is easier to believe? That's a real question. Which is easier to believe? I think if we're honest, let's be honest this morning, honest is good, we'd have to say the facts. Because they're in our face all the time, they're always screaming at us, it's the things that we can see, feel, taste, touch and smell. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, proportionately, it feels a bit like I've got the truth there and I've got the facts there, they're in my face all the time. One of the greatest battles of life is who do I believe? Who am I going to choose to believe? And you could say, do you not mean what are we going to choose to believe? Actually, I believe the truth is, before it's what I'm going to believe, it's who am I going to believe? The reality is this, truth is not an argument or a side to be chosen, but it's a person and his name is Jesus. So when we're talking about relating to truth or believing truth, we're talking about believing the word of Jesus over any other word. We're talking about believing the person of Jesus over any other person. And when it comes to believing the person of Jesus, you better believe it, he's worth believing. And he's true. What he says is true whether I see it or not. He said, of course, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say I'm here to talk about the truth. He said, I am the truth. And it's true whatever my circumstances are screaming at me today. But so many times, if we're honest, we believe the circumstances before the truth. And when you start thinking about this, we have to get our heads around some stuff, especially if you've been around for a while, because if you've been a Christian for a while, you could say, well, I believed God, but it didn't work. We get disappointed, we get disillusioned. I understand that, and I know why we feel that way. But we have to think about it slightly differently. A friend of ours, a friend of mine, a guy called Dwayne White, he'll be with us in a few weeks. He lives in Texas, but he travels a lot around the world. He's coming, and he said this, and I love it. He says, faith is our response to grace. Or we could say grace is God's ability and faith is our responsibility. Or you could say responsibility is our ability to respond. Does that make sense? So I'll say it again. So grace is God's ability and faith is our ability to respond to his grace. Grace is God's ability. Faith is our ability to respond to his ability. That's good. But even our responsibility comes from him because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Mark 11 says we should receive the faith of God. Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing. So faith comes from God, and grace is what God provided, irrespective of our performance or our ability or anything that we can do. Therefore, faith is our responsibility, which is simply the ability to respond to God's ability in our lives. You get it in Ashford News, so if you want to think about it again. But the other way around, he gives us faith, which is the ability to respond to God's ability in our life. All we have to do is believe God. That's easier. You got that?
Yeah.
Believe God. And this is where we get mixed up. We think it didn't work because I believed God and what I was believing for didn't come to pass. We thought the byproduct or the result of our faith was our responsibility. We thought that somehow that our faith would produce a result and the end result was the whole point. Whereas actually, to God it's not. He provides it, it's his ability. Then by faith we believe it. And then how it happens and when it happens and where it happens, the result is up to him. So it's God in the beginning, God in the middle, God at the end. That's good. And I know we're involved, but basically we're just hanging around for the ride. I'm not saying we're not involved, let's be clear on that. But I think the thing that we often get confused about is what is our responsibility and what is God's responsibility. Does that make sense? Say yes, Matthew.
Yes, Matthew.
That's kind of you, even if it didn't. So the when is not my responsibility. So I'm believing for healing.
Yeah, so am I.
Have you been healed? No. Why not? I don't know. That's not my responsibility. When's it going to happen? I don't know. That's not my responsibility. I just keep showing up until God does what he says he's going to do. How's he going to do it? Don't know. That's not my responsibility. We just believe God and the results are up to him. Okay? What we're learning all along is it's not about the end result. It's about trusting God no matter what our circumstances look like. I want to be the kind of person who chooses to believe Jesus over any other voice in my life. In Ashwood, we're choosing to believe God and his word no matter what our circumstances look like. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, you need to head to Romans 4. There's a couple of verses out of that that I'd just like us to look at. So when we're thinking about faith, The Bible talks about Abraham as being the father of faith. So Romans 4, we'll come back to it later as well, but verse 3 says this: Abraham believed God. Say, believed God. Believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham gets credit. What for? For believing God. And you and I get credit for believing God, not for producing the results of what we're believing for. Abraham got credit in the test of life for believing God, even though his circumstances, the facts, didn't look good. I believe Jesus, and the results are up to him. So I believe the truth, whether it exists in this realm or not. And much of what I'm believing for, I will see in this lifetime. But even if I don't see it in my lifetime, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It still exists, and when I die, I'll see it because I'll enter the realm that it already exists in. And that's why we're praying, your kingdom come, which is still unseen, your will, which hasn't fully come yet, be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we'll keep doing that, won't we? We'll keep praying that prayer, but the results are up to him. Faith and doubt both begin with a thought. So in our worship just now, we talked about every high thing must come down. Our job is to take captive every thought to make it come under the rule and reign of Jesus. Because the truth is, a lot of our thoughts are based on our facts. But if we're going to take captive every thought, we can make it come under the truth of what Jesus says. I want to believe Jesus before I believe the facts. So believe the truth, know the truth, believe the truth before we believe the facts. The next thing, speak the truth more than I speak the facts. Now, I'm not saying we speak the truth instead of ever speaking the facts. I'm saying speak the truth more than we speak the facts. I realise what this sounds a bit like as I'm thinking these things through myself. I'm thinking, you could say, hang on a minute, this sounds like denial. It does a little bit, doesn't it? But it's not. You could say, are you suggesting, Matt, that we should speak something that's not true? Well, no, actually I'm suggesting that we speak something that's more true. Which doesn't work as an English sentence, but you know what I mean. Are we saying we should deny the facts? No. Watch what Abraham did. Verse 19 in Romans 4. I love this. It says, without weakening in his faith. Without weakening in his faith. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Why? He was 100 years old. Sarah's womb was also dead. Nice piece of factual information. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. He did not waver. What was his promise? The truth over his life, that is, he was going to be the father of many nations. The facts were, what are the facts? 100 years old. Wife, womb, dead. I love the fact that it says he didn't deny the facts. He faced the facts, but he never embraced them. So it's no good saying, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. But somehow, without weakening in our faith, we face the facts, We don't waver. We believe the truth of what God has said. And of course, the results are up to him. And we, like Abraham, can actually get stronger in faith even when the facts seem to be contrary to everything that God had promised. If you think about Abraham's situation, we read it, it's nice, Sunday morning, Abraham, 100 years old, womb, dead. It's a nice story. But if just imagine if you'd have a promise from God years and years and years ago, I think I'd be ready to stop believing, would you? And yet, without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts, but he didn't embrace them. Who likes courtroom dramas? Courtroom films? Few Good Men, anyone seen A Few Good Men? Yeah? It's a favourite in our house. Partly because of Tom Cruise's appearance, I think. And sadly, we can't watch it anymore because it was only available on VHS. But imagine the courtroom of the Kingdom of Heaven. In your life, there's an accuser, a prosecuting solicitor. He's called the devil. He's constantly mounting evidence against you. What type of evidence? Circumstantial. Circumstantial evidence. Why? It's based on your circumstances. But there's another solicitor. He's called the advocate, the Holy Spirit. And he's always scouring the word to discover truth and revealing Jesus to you. You are the jury of your own life, and you have to decide where to give the verdict. So in this courtroom drama of your life, it plays out day after day. The prosecutor is constantly putting forward the facts of the case. How often do you hear that in the courtroom drama? Here are the facts of the case. The facts of the case. Here are the facts of the case. But one eyewitness who is credible enough, can overcome all kinds of circumstantial evidence as long as he is believable. Do you know that Jesus is testifying over your life and he is the eyewitness of what God has said about you? You have to decide whether you're going to believe his words or the words of the prosecuting solicitor. The facts are always in my face, but the truth is found in my faith. And eventually, if I believe God and his words, what Jesus is saying about me, and I become acquainted with that, I believe the truth, then eventually it starts to come out of my mouth. Because what I believe is what I say. You know, our words are so powerful. You know, when you're speaking about something and then in the middle of your sentence, there comes a but. You know, you say something, I'll say something that I want you to believe, and then I'll say but, and then I tell you what I really believe. Sometimes. And sometimes I think we do that with what we're saying about God. I'm believing God, but this is quite difficult, or I can't see this. I'm praying for this, but how about flipping it the other way around? Saying, I may have sickness in my body, but I know God is a healing God, and by his stripes I'm healed. I may have no money in the bank, but my God will supply all of my needs through his riches in glory. I may have a kid who isn't serving God today, but as for me and my house, will serve the Lord. It's not denial, it's speaking the truth. There's a difference. Can you see that? We're made in God's image, and his words have creative power. So since I'm made in his image, my words can have creative power too. His words framed the world. My words frame my world. So in Romans 4 verse 17, it says this, "The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not." God calls things into being as though they were, because God speaks the truth, even if it hasn't yet been identified in the seen realm. And sometimes we prophesy things, don't we? Because we see things in the unseen realm that are true, that haven't yet come to pass in our realm. And that's why we prophesy things. That's why we bring things into our realm, because they're true. I can have a sickness in my body and still say, by his stripes I'm healed. That doesn't mean I'm going to say, I'm not sick. But there is power in saying, I may be sick today, but by his stripes I'm healed. When's it going to happen? I don't know. How's it going to happen? I don't know. I can't say I'm healed because I'd be lying. The facts might be I have sickness in my body, but I can still declare and speak out, by his stripes I'm healed. The words we speak are so powerful. We're people who want to believe the truth more than we believe the facts, and speak the truth more than the facts. Are you ready? Ephesians 4 says this, verse 14 and 15. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Who wants to be a child? We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. Who wants to be tossed and blown around? We'll be influenced. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. The truth is, we want to be more like Christ, don't we? And when we speak the truth, then that's what starts to happen. So, we know the truth, believe the truth, speak the truth. What starts to happen? We begin to live in the truth. And at the start of 2014, in the context of where we're at now, I believe that this is something that God is saying to us. Are you ready to believe the truth? Every day as we read Ephesians 1, the truth starts to get a hold of us and we start to get a hold of the truth. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what your situation, no matter what the prosecutor has been speaking to you, let's declare that the truth is a person, his name is Jesus, and there's nobody greater than the truth in my life. The facts are not greater than the truth. My circumstances are not greater than the truth. The reality is that we face some pretty what looked like pretty tough challenges. And I'm aware that we have to be careful with all this, so I'm not suggesting that you run into situations and say silly things about by stripes you're healed, and let's be sensitive as well. But if there are two realms, one's seen, one's unseen, let's make sure that we're believing the higher reality. I read this, something Bill Johnson says. Most people who don't have faith would say that they are realists, but actually, people of faith are also realists. They just have their foundation in a superior reality. So if you and I are people of faith, we have our foundation in a superior reality. That's the truth. Let's allow it to set us free. If what I've said makes some sense to you this morning, I wonder if you just stand up with me. There may be some circumstances that you're facing right now, and we can face our circumstances, face the facts, but not embrace them. This morning, I want to encourage each one of us to believe the truth before the circumstances and our facts. Doesn't mean we deny the facts, but it means that we embrace the truth. So for these next few moments, I wonder if we could just engage our spirit with the Holy Spirit. You know, in this season, in this 21 days, I believe that God is moving us forward in the whole area of truth and faith. That's what's happening as church. Whose church? It's you and it's me. So it's happening in our lives. So this morning, let's embrace the truth for a moment. Perhaps you have a conversation with God, say, God, these are the facts, but I'm choosing this morning to embrace the truth. It's not denial, it's just choosing the priority of what we're going to believe in our lives. Choosing who we're going to believe, the words of Jesus or the facts of our circumstances. Because if this is true, then you and I will end up living our lives differently. That's the bottom line. So let's close our eyes for a moment. Perhaps you'd have a conversation with God. Here are the facts, here are the circumstances, but we're choosing to believe the truth.